Alrighty. And there's no preliminaries, I guess I just get right to it. I don't know, you guys don't need the microphone, right?
No.
Okay. It says when I'm sharing, spend a moment saying where I'm from and how long I've been in OA. So, I'm from Massachusetts. I live about 35 minutes from here, so it's very convenient for me, which is why I signed up for service. I came into OA when I was 19. I came in on a blind date, believe it or not. My mom had been going to this bakery, this Syrian bakery that she always went to, and the owner's son was losing a ton of weight. And she was like, how you doing it? And she started talking to him, and he, you know, broke his anonymity and said, you know, through OA. My mother was like, my daughter would love that. And, you know, my mother wasn't thinking that I would love OA. My mother was thinking, marry the baker's son. That was what my mother was thinking. She thought that would be great, free bakery stuff. And so she billed it to me as a blind date. So we go, and he's thinking he's doing service. And no, I'm thinking I'm on a date, and we show up at an OA meeting. I was like, oh my God. And I thought I picked a seat, which is the funniest thing to me, that was in the corner. Turns out the speaker was sitting here. So everybody in the meeting was staring at me the whole time. And I was probably 375 pounds at the time. And it was like, oh my God. So absolutely everybody at the meeting afterwards came up and talked to me. And I was like, please don't talk to me. What am I doing here? This is the most worst day ever. And I felt really bad for this guy because afterwards he really did want to date me. But who's going to date a guy that takes you to an OA meeting? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. So I got abstinent right away, and I had 8 years of abstinence, lost all my weight. I actually lost 90 pounds in 90 days. That's the joy of being 19, is you get to lose a lot of weight very quickly. Lost all my weight, and my experience was, which I know this is bariatric focused, but I had a mental health issue, and people ostracized me because of that, and I ended up leaving. And this is where my bariatric journey started. So I because of my mental health thing, I rock back and forth, so please excuse that.
You turned the recorder on, right?
I did. So I was out there for 20 years, and I have a disabled son. So my son was born with a condition called spinal muscular atrophy, and it's a degenerative neuromuscular disease. And I was told he wouldn't live past 2 when he was born, which, you know, obviously was devastating. And, you know, that caused a lot of eating. My top weight was approximately 400 pounds, but at 400 pounds, one, a regular scale won't do it, and two, who the heck is getting on a scale at 400 pounds? That's just not something you want to do. And, you know, then my son started getting a bit, you know, medical advancements got better, so then it was okay, he might live till 13. And as he got to be about 13, I was like, well, I want to live long enough to be there for him. You know, he had a lot of medical issues. He had a lot of surgeries. He had back rods put in, and it entailed surgery every 9 months to lengthen them. And I had a lot of stuff I had to do, but I was extremely depressed because of his diagnosis, and I just wasn't functioning. And I attributed it all to my weight, that, you know, I couldn't do his physical therapy with him very well. I couldn't put him in his stander very well because, you know, I was very large. I could barely shower, for God's sakes. You know, that would exhaust me. Putting on my shoes was a trick. You know, I used to have to sit on the couch and put my leg this way on the couch just to get socks on. It was ridiculous. So in my desire not to come back to OA, I looked into bariatric surgery, and I went to a place, and, you know, they sold me on the gastric band, and they were really salesmen. I'm sorry, I think they're salespeople. I originally wanted the big surgery, but they were like, no, no, you don't need the big surgery. Let's do the gastric band. And I was like, okay, we'll do the gastric band. Unfortunately for me, shortly after I had the gastric band, I had this horrible stomach flu, and the band actually slipped this way. So they were like, well, that's not that big of a deal. Well, it was a big deal. You know, one, I could feel it all the time because it just, I could. Two, I hated the injections. Oh my God, I don't know if anybody's had the band, but they have these big needles that they put in you to add saline into the band to make it bigger or smaller to adjust the size of your stomach. Oh, I hated the needle. I cannot begin to tell you how much I hated that needle. But the problem was, is food wouldn't go down that well. Like the healthy food they told you to eat, you know, I wasn't supposed to eat that much carbohydrates. I was supposed to eat a lot of lettuce, supposed to eat a lot of salad, and it just wouldn't go down. It would get stuck here and I would end up throwing up. But the stuff that did go down was all the stuff you're not supposed to eat. You know, the ice cream. I'm going to talk about food because it's a very integral part of bariatric surgery. You know, things that dissolved good in my mouth went down, you know, which was bakery goods. You know, like I said, cold things went down easy. Puddings went down easy. Like anything sugary went down easy. But healthy food did not go down easy. Meat, forget about it. You know, protein, forget about it. It did not go down. So they removed all the saline and they thought that that would help. But again, it was cockeyed. So it did not help. And I suffered with that. I did lose some weight. I lost about 80 pounds. But, you know, you start out at 400 pounds, losing 80 pounds, you know, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And I was very unhappy with that. And I kicked myself in the butt because, again, I went there to get the gastric bypass and I got sold on the band. So in my life, there's been so many times where I just did not have the strength of my own convictions. Like being in program, that's the thing that I desperately want, is to have the strength of my own conviction, to be honest with myself. You know, in the big book it says, constitutionally incapable of being honest with yourself. And it's like, oh, okay. I have to be constitutionally capable of being honest with myself. You know, being honest with others, yes, I have to be honest with others, but being honest with myself, what I'm worth, what I need, what I want, that's the hardest thing. So I didn't speak up. I didn't speak up for myself. And I kicked myself in the butt. So I suffered with that for probably about 10 years. And of course, put on the 80 pounds again. So I, at some point, decided I was going to have that removed. I went to two or three different bariatric centers because I didn't want to go back to the one that did it the first time because I felt they didn't truly listen to me when I said I wanted the big surgery. And for some reason, they thought that I was capable of handling the band. Why? I don't know. I told them that I was in Overeaters Anonymous before. And why me telling them I was a food addict made them believe that I was going to be able to handle the band, I do not know. So I then went to Mass General, and they were like, they did some tests, and they're like, do you know that it slipped? And I'm like, yes, I do know. And they're like, that must be uncomfortable. I'm like, yes, I do know that too. That's why I'm here. They're like, that's gotta be removed. I'm like, yes, again, that is why I'm here. So we again talked about it, and I again said I wanted the gastric bypass surgery, and yet again, they convinced me not to get the gastric bypass surgery. They convinced me to get the sleeve, which I can say I do not regret it. I don't, because up until that point, I had never in my life felt full. I could eat a horse and not feel full. I just could. So I had it, I had the sleeve removed. I mean, I had the band removed and I had the gastric sleeve. The thing that that did for me was it enabled me to feel full, which was a gift. However, I am a food addict to my core. So I did lose some weight, but it didn't solve the insanity in my head. It did not solve the, did I eat too much? Did I not eat too much? Should I eat this? Shouldn't I eat this? It didn't solve my increasing drinking and the effects alcohol had on me because I had the sleeve, because alcohol affects us differently after bariatric surgery. Thankfully, I never became an alcoholic, but I was headed that way. I truly was, because I'm an addict. It didn't solve the insanity in my head. It didn't solve the fundamental need to stand in my own skin and be happy. And again, the things that went down easiest were the things that I wasn't supposed to eat. The bakery goods, the chips, the soda, those things went down very easily. And did I get full with them? Yes. But my favorite thing had, you know, frosting on top. You know, that was my favorite thing. And as an adult, you can go to a bakery anytime you want. Nobody stops you. It was great. So I lost some weight and I ended up putting the weight back on because, again, I wasn't eating properly. So I had that done in 2016. And again, I suffered through not losing weight because it didn't cure my insanity. But I had tried Weight Watchers because I was like, I need a food plan, but I wasn't coming back here. I was not coming back here. You people were crazy. I was not coming back to OA. That didn't work. I did a pouch reset about 5 times. There's a diet that you can do to shrink your sleeve again. I did that. That actually works. But I talked to my husband a couple times about coming back to program. And part of my story is I had, when there was, in this area, there was a split between OA and a group of people that decided to form FA, Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, and I had gone there, and that was a huge mistake. But I was trying to decide if I should go to FA or OA, and my husband's words were an expletive FA. So one day I was just like, I'm gonna go to OA, and I looked at OA.org and there was a Zoom meeting, and I called the contact person for that meeting and came back. And then after the meeting, I called her and got a sponsor. Now my food plan, because of the sleeve, is a little bit different than other people. And when I first came in, I didn't want to have a different food plan. I wanted that three, for me it's 3 weighed measured meals a day because my brain just can't handle not weighing. And I didn't want to do what was necessary for my sleeve. I wanted to be like everybody else because I didn't want the judgment. But that really didn't work. You know, you have a smaller stomach, it just didn't work. And this time, I had the strength of my own conviction to tell my sponsor, this is not working. And I thought she was going to drop me. I really thought she was going to drop me. And she's like, why didn't you tell me to begin with? And I was like, well, because I thought you were going to drop me. You know, I just really thought you were going to drop me. And she's like, no. So I went back to the bariatric center because they're the ones that, thank you, they're the ones that, you know, did it. They would know best of what the nutrition requirements I needed. So I do not eat three meals a day anymore. I have three meals and two, what I call tapas, because I think it's a better word than snack. And it works. And I follow what they told me to do, because nutritionally, it's better for me. So it's a little bit different than what the people in my area do. My area is very three weighed and measured meals, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar. So, and thankfully, people are very accepting in my area of the fact that I had surgery. So for me, my recovery is twofold. The bariatric surgery helps me to feel full, and I have the gift of not feeling starving in between my meals. That when I eat, it really works for me. But without this program, I would be back to being 400 pounds. I need both of these things as tools for my recovery. And that is a gift, to accept that part of me, to accept my own journey, to accept me, so that I can stand in the strength of my own convictions, in my own skin, be honest with people, and have some semblance of recovery, and follow the 12 steps to the best of my ability. Because before, if I wasn't honest with myself, how can you follow the 12 steps? That's, you can't do it. You know, it says it right in the beginning of the big book. You have to be constitutionally capable of being honest with yourself first, and then with others. So that's, you gotta practice that every day. That's why there's a 10th step. I have an app on my phone that helps me with my 10th step every night, because no matter how many times I read the big book, I forget the questions you're supposed to ask yourself for a 10th step. So I have an app, like I have an app for pretty much everything. So that helps with that. So I hope I have imparted something. You know, I asked God to help me before I spoke, to just have whatever comes out, comes out. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to share, because I think I can learn a lot from all of you. And that's what I have to say. Thank you very much. We will now open the meeting for sharing. Anybody like to share? Thank you.
Is it okay if I just stay here?
You can stay there. Okay. Yeah, I don't think you got to stand.
So I'm Ginny. I'm a compulsive overeater, compulsive everything.
Hi, Ginny.
I've been in OA since July of 22. Should have probably been in AA first, but that's okay. And my story is, I had been thinking about the surgery, having the surgery. I could only lose about 50 pounds. No matter what program I did, that was about the max. And as soon as I went off, I would gain back 80. So my highest weight was 354 in 2017. When I came here last year, I was around 330. And I met some wonderful people here that I had already seen the surgeon and already started, because it's not something we can do overnight. But I still was on the fence. And meeting some of the people here, Laz, Maria, and Joanne, and some others, really encouraged me to think it through. They didn't just say, go do it, but let me see the other side of it. But the key is, it's my head. And my head is what's always the problem, whether it's dead or alcohol or anything, exercise too much. I can do anything compulsively too much. And so my sponsor knew that this is what I was thinking, and she supported it. She's very, very good about that, but she didn't understand the food. So I did work with somebody from the conference for a little bit on the food, and that's, truthfully, now I've actually lost 170-some pounds. And that was the tool, but it's also the work with OA. Because if I don't go to my meetings every couple days and talk to my sponsor and do the steps, I would gain it back. My head is always, I actually had a tattoo on my arm, you know, embrace the journey with my number, high number, so that I remember this is a journey. It's something I have to continue throughout my life. It's not something that the surgery solves. It's not something that I can solve. It's only my higher power that can solve with me and work the food. My challenge still that I have in my head, and hopefully I'm hoping to hear other people's help on it, is the judgment that I get. And I do not have a good way of handling that right now. But I would do the surgery again in a heartbeat, but staying in OA is the thing. That's what has to be done for me in order to keep the weight off. Or to keep going with it. So thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
I'm Laz, and I'm Christina Eder.
Hi, Laz.
This is the most important meeting I go to every year, and I've said that already a few times, but like in all of my meetings, I feel like I can't share about my surgery journey a lot because I do get a lot of judgment from my groups at home and whatnot because no one else truly understands that this surgery wasn't the easy way out. It was just, in my opinion, a longer step to getting myself to OA because I found OA after I got the surgery. But I'm really grateful I did because I was at my highest at 350 and I thought the surgery was my only option. I got the surgery and I quickly lost a lot of weight, but instead of like being able to overeat all of my feelings, the surgery just took that aspect away from me. So now my addiction was like, oh, I can't eat anything that I want, then I'm not going to eat anything at all. And I switched my coin to not eating. And it was really hard because I came into OA pretty underweight, but it wasn't that my food addiction wasn't there, and it was really hard because no one understood that just because I wasn't eating doesn't mean I didn't have that compulsive eating part of me because I had lost all this weight from the surgery. But I kept coming back, and I'm really grateful I did because last year at this convention I met some great people that really like touched my heart and moved my life, and I'm really glad because last year when I came to this convention I was a little under 100 pounds, which means I had lost like about like 270 pounds for my weight loss. And I'm really grateful that I have gotten a sponsor and a food plan that works for me, and it is not the OA food plan, but that's because I will restrict too much. And now I have a food plan that makes it so that I will eat, but I'm not gonna lose control on my eating because that's the biggest fear. And I've regained weight to the healthiest weight I've ever been at for a whole year. Been abstinent for a year, and that's all to OA, my sponsor, because the bariatric surgeons, they weren't as supportive in all of that, but without that surgery, I would have never found OA. I would have never found nutrition. I would have never found being healthy. And I'm really grateful that the surgery gave me that tool and experience, but I'm really grateful for OA because that saved my life. I think I would have never found my support and everything, so thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dorothy, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Dorothy.
I've been in program a little over 30 years. And right now I'm sponsoring someone who has had bariatric surgery. And I'm here partly to better understand the mentality of it. And just in the sharing that I've heard, I feel I better understand. And I was reminded that when I sponsor, I remember that there are no musts in this program. There are no food plans in this program.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing that I need to do. I mean, I need the 12 steps. I need the tools. Do I need everyone every day? Well, some people say so, but I need what I need, and I have a sponsor. But for somebody to say, you know, that I need 90 meetings in 90 days, or I need to do all of those things that have been mentioned, I don't, because there are no musts. And so it's in working with folks like you that I better understand me and what I need to do for me. I can't change anybody else. I can only take care of me. So I think I said I'm sponsoring somebody who has struggled, and you know, I'm not clear on all of the different categories of bands and sleeves and all of those things, but she gained all the weight back. Mm-hmm. And she's still struggling, and she's had some things removed. And do I agree with her food plan? I don't know that I totally understand it, but I respect the fact that this is my food and this is what I'm going to have today. And she has other health issues, so God bless her. And there, you know, it's, you don't give advice. You're on a journey with someone else, and the fact that somebody is willing to share, you know, we take care of each other in however we can. But if I don't get anything out of my mind, then it goes deeper, and that's when I'll eat. You know what I'm saying? It's that to be able to diffuse it, like I'm doing right now in a meeting, makes all the difference. So I become very concerned when somebody says, well, my sponsor said I have to do this. No, find another sponsor. I was in an assembly where someone from region was talking about there are no musts and what have you. And all of a sudden, these two women dissolved into tears. They were relative newcomers, and they had, you mean if I eat an extra green bean, they're not gonna kick me out? There were so many things that their sponsor told them that they had to do. No, you can find all sorts of sponsors, and you find the ones that meets your requirements at the time, and you can change sponsors at will, and there's no judgment. Shouldn't be any judgment, but anyway, thank you all for being here, and I'm so glad I came to this meeting. And as somebody said, OA isn't for everybody, and there's so many other things out there, and it's not for me to judge what somebody else needs or doesn't need. It's between them and the professionals, right? The big book talks about the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been in this program for 30 plus years. I have another program right now that I do that complements what I do in OA. I wouldn't leave that other one either, but am I going to stand up and say, oh, you need this? I need it. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Sandy, a compulsive overeater from Manage.
Hi, Sandy.
9 yards. I've had gastric bypass surgery back in 2003. And it is wonderful in some senses that it helped me lose the weight. I was almost 300 pounds. And I went down to 150. It has given me some side effects. Just, you know, I have irritable bowel syndrome now. I'm lactose intolerant, and I go hypoglycemic. So I do carry tablets just in case I start shaking and need something. But I have found a food sponsor or a sponsor who is willing to work with my diet, and I cannot eat any leafy green stuff because it just goes right through. So what I do, and it's really working, is 3 meals a day. I measure my 3 meals, have them in the refrigerator the night before. And I do 2 fruits a day. So if I, because of the gastric bypass, I can't always eat a whole meal at one sitting. So we have it that I've divided up to, it's like 5 meals a day. But it's truly a 3-meal plan. I just eat what I can, then I'll go back and have the rest of it so that it's 5 meals a day. And that works. Usually the in-between meal is the fruit and maybe some of the vegetable that I couldn't get in. I have trouble with protein, so I do try to get that in with the regular meal times, as they say, but nothing's regular. Would I do it again? Yes. I was in so much pain, and I had been in a car accident, so that I've had a knee replacement on one side already and broke both bones in my lower leg on the other and could not get up and down. And what made me decide to do it was a therapist came to my sister's house where I was recuperating. And all I wanted was her to help me figure out a way to get up out of the chair and sit back down with one bad leg and not being able to weight bear on the other. And she looked at me, looked at my sister, told my sister, I can't help her, she's too fat. Mm-hmm. And she left. And I was devastated. And of course, I got rid of that company, but yeah, that really hit me hard. And I decided then I would do the bypass. And it really is a great thing. I needed it. So whether I would recommend it, I'm not sure, because I'm crazy up here. And I did go back up to 210 pounds. And realized I had to come back to OA. And OA is where I'm finding my recovery, just being able to talk. And I don't hold back at meetings that I've had gastric bypass, because if they can't accept me, that's their problem. This is who I am, and I need you guys. With that, I quit.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Gastric bypass person. I had my gastric bypass in 2007. I was 225, actually, I think it was close because I had lost a little bit. So it was over 225. But I got it and I went down to like 140. And that was great. And all of a sudden I started realizing I could eat certain things. And my head wasn't fixed. It was just my gut that was fixed. So obviously I went right back up. About 6 years ago I started going to OA. And I started to run the program. And I was able to take it almost all off again for a year or two. And then all of a sudden, I started back. It was just a very slow process. I started back up. I'll have to stay with that. Would I have done this? In retrospect, looking back, I would have. because I feel like I would not be 285 pounds like I am right now. I would be 405 pounds. I think if I didn't have it, because I am crazy. And it's the way I deal with my emotions. And I have to just work the program. But I'm thankful for all of you to be here. And I do feel a little bit, sometimes when I do tell people in program that I got a bastard bypass, I do feel a judgment. You know, it's almost like I'm cheating. Cheating's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fix in my head that I have to fix, and a fix of my whole thinking and weighing, living, being. And I'm going to be forever in this program. I'm not really working it right now. I'm trying to. I'm close, but I'm gonna get there, and I'm gonna keep coming back. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks.
I'm Rhea, emotional compulsive overeater. And emotional always comes first, right? Because that's where I just eat my feelings. So I have a gastric band. Really simple, you can Google Beats Band. Boom, you can get around that right away.
Mm-hmm.
So many people have had problems that most surgeons won't do this surgery anymore because people just work themselves around it. I gave up a 6-year abstinence this year in March. It was an emotional reason, whatever. I was in prelapse for a while and couldn't get out of it, and just, it was a horrible relapse for 2 months. And I didn't gain any weight, but just the emotional, everything came out. In September of this year, I was having really bad pain, and I was in the emergency room for 15 hours begging them to take the liquid out of the band. You don't know how the bands work. It goes around the top of your esophagus, creates a pouch. So when you release that liquid, you now have freedom. So after 15 hours of pain, they finally came and released the band. So I have been on my own since September, and I've not gained any weight. So when I went back to see the surgeon, he was like, "You didn't gain any weight in a month since then?" He's like, "That's so great." And I'm like, "Well, that's a way. You know, that's..." So now it's like, I haven't lost any weight, but I think I'm a sugar addict. I think that this has created... I was a food, hardcore food. Put a chicken and a cake. I'm picking the chicken every time. I was 252 pounds. I didn't have diabetes. I didn't have high cholesterol. I didn't have high blood pressure. I had nothing. Nothing. Because I was eating all good foods in large quantities. So they almost didn't want to approve me even for the surgery. But now I find that it's created a new problem. Because the volume eating that I wanted to do, I can now do with sugar products. So it's stopping me from eating good foods, right? But now I can eat an apple again. In the last month and a half, I have eaten so many apples. I'm so excited. I eat one apple a day. I've shared this many times. Before my surgery, I ate so many carrots that I turned orange,
mm-hmm.
both carrot and poisoning. Because if you're on a paying way and you can eat as many insert the food, I said to the doctor, said, "How many carrots do you eat a day?" I said, "You mean bags?" And he said, "You're eating bags of carrots a day?" I'm like, "Yeah, because I can eat as many as I want." So it was the volume. That was the problem. And so I'm really holding on tight and trying to decide. So somebody in my work building has had now, she's had all the surgeries. She's now on bypass. She had the bands. We talk openly, her and I. She's had bands, she got removed, she had the sleeve, she got she got past that. She now just did the gastric bypass, and I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that she has dropped 60 pounds since April. And I'm like, I have to keep working this process. I didn't have the right sponsor. Maybe now I do. I got a new sponsor a week ago. She had to do different things. And I know I can do it. And I'm not sure if I need this tool back of the bands. And I'm in that place where I'm trying to make that decision. I also have a husband that's pretty vocal about it. He's a professional chef. So I married my drug dealer. Anybody know how? You know. And when this happens, I changed his love language. Or I took away his love language. So there's that emotional, and that's why I started that. You know, I need to use the tools of OA. But I'm not sure if I still need this tool. And I came here looking for help to decide. I don't know. So after the meeting, if there's anybody who wants to give feedback, I'd love to hear. Thanks for getting here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll share. I'm Jackie B from the Bronx.
Hey, Jackie.
I've been in the program 30 years. On and off, and you know, I was always good at weighing and measuring and the whole thing, and I started out where you had to do exactly what your sponsor said. You know, if you licked your fingers, you start day one. You know, it was all that stuff, you know? And then in 2010, I decided I wanted gastric bypass. I needed assistance. So, you know, you have to lose weight before you could have the gastric bypass. So I lost 98 pounds before the gastric bypass because I did my OA program, right? My husband was totally against it. You know, he wanted it too, but he said, why are you gonna do it if you're losing the weight? I said, because I need something to stop me. I need like a plug besides what I do. Because it's easy to lose 100 pounds. To keep it off is another issue. Mm-hmm. So I had the gastric bypass, and it's so funny because I gained 30 pounds on the gastric bypass because all of a sudden they said you could eat bagels. Mm. You know, so what? It takes, you know, 2 hours. You know, it takes 5 hours to eat that bagel. I can eat bagels. You know, you forget that there's certain foods I can't ingest. But at that time, you know, even in the program, I hated the big book because it reminded me of my father, the alcoholic. So I didn't want nothing to do with the big book. But I did the steps, the whole nine yards. Sponsored, you know, I stayed abstinent 5 years before the gastric bypass. But resentments, because I wasn't pregnant or whatever, you know, no one ever asked me. I thought it was a cool thing to say, well, I measured 4 ounces of meat every day, but, you know, 2 ounces was fat on my meat. You know what I mean? It's so easy the way we trick ourselves to everything. So I had the bariatric surgery. I lost some weight when I went back to OA. Not because of anything, because I didn't realize I'm an addict. I'll eat a pizza. I don't care how long it takes, you know? And you know, and throwing up, wow. You know what I mean? I tried to be a bulimic. Didn't work because I hated to give away the food after I threw it up. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and I know all the tricks of the trade. You know, I used to want compensation. Tell my sponsor ahead of time I binged. I didn't even binge yet. You know? I work for child welfare. Okay? There, I'm working 34 years. And you know, I left a newborn in the crib so I can go get my binge food? You know, there is nothing that this disease will not make you do. And I could totally identify because, you know, even though my husband was a phone man, you know, he loved to cook. And he would get jealous if somebody else made a better dish than he did, you know, for me. And I totally get that. And I was very blessed because, you know, he would make me abstinent food. You know, he would make it, he would know what I'm not supposed to have, and then he would make the same dish, but in an abstinent form. So I was very blessed with that, but the point is that I needed the bariatric surgery. And then years later, even with the bariatric surgery, I kept my weight off. You know, my highest weight was 373 pounds. I've managed to keep over 150 pounds off all these years, you know? But it did not mean that I stayed abstinent all these years either. You know, it was only in 2016, well, 8.5 years abstinent when I finally took the big book into my life, okay? Because I realized that, you know, I used to lie because we didn't have to tell our, you know, our sponsors weren't seeing me and they didn't have to see my, well, how big I was getting. And I would always just tell them, this is what I ate, this is what I ate, this is what I ate. It wasn't until I started doing the big book, the Vision for You meetings, mm-hmm. And I finally got a sponsor because they said to me, you have to get a sponsor. So it's funny, I did FAA food plan only so, oh thank you, only so I would know what sugars not to have, because I can't do sugars. I can't do deep fried foods. I can't do those things. I never had high blood pressure, I never had diabetes, but I could eat like a Mack truck. Mm-hmm. That's what I could do. I could do that really well. I could undereat anybody, overeat anybody. And what happened was, is when I heard the big book, I finally admitted that I was not abstinent. And all of a sudden, since I was doing the big book, and it said the allergy and the cravings and the obsession, I decided to have this one sweet thing after all these years. And I noticed before they even touched my lips, I was already gonna order 5 more. I said, oh shit, I am what it says in the doctor's opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's when the light bulb went on. And as soon as I stopped eating those ingredients that triggered the allergy and the obsession of the craving, all of a sudden I stayed abstinent. No more noise in the head, no more, I didn't worry about the next meal. So in conjunction with the bariatric surgery, it started to work. And also, let me tell you, I didn't believe giving away sugar substitutes would have a profound effect. It did. Because they say after a year, you can't lose any more on a bariatric. That's not true, because then the weight started going. So today I don't drink sodas. I don't drink anything in my beverages. I don't die. I had to make sure that, did I like coffee really or not? You know, years ago I used to drink, you know how much coffee I used to drink? I couldn't eat bananas, okay? I even like fried bananas. So my name was never Jackie B from the Bronx. It was the Totoni lady. It was the oatmeal lady. It was, you know, my name was always based on the food I bought every day. That's what people knew me in stores. You know? Today, I don't do that. Today, I even went back to my bariatric place because I didn't know why I wasn't losing any weight. But I still have, you know, fatty thighs and whatever, but it's not that, you know, I haven't hit my bottom weight yet. So when the scale stops, that's when I stop. I went back to her. She said to me, Jackie, because your food plan as a bariatric patient is too much, even if it's abstinent. She said, you're a compulsive overeater with us, you know, bariatric surgery. You have to eat the portions. And I so identified with somebody else because she says to me, Jackie, just finish the protein. Even if you don't eat it right then mm-hmm. and there because you don't feel like eating anymore, just finish the protein later on. And I can't worry about what other people in these programs think. See, that's the problem. That's where my codependency comes. When I start worrying other people's opinion, you know? And I also still have to look at the ingredients. Just because I don't eat sugar, and I don't eat fried foods, and I don't eat certain fruits and vegetables, I have to make sure I still have to check. You know, just because it says sugar-free, no sugar, doesn't mean that that's for me. I have to read every single ingredient because I will not trigger the obsession of the mind and the cravings that come with it. As long as I do that, it works in conjunction. I will say now, I have to take injections because it turns out I have a liver condition. I have a biliary cirrhosis of the liver. My father, the alcoholic, never had. He lived to 81. I have something, and my husband blames it on bariatric surgery. It wasn't because of that. They said it could have been dormant from the day I was born, but it just showed up now. So yes, I do have to lose weight. So they said I'll take the shot. I take the shot. It's medicine, only if it's a medicine. The same thing is I'm a Puerto Rican Jew, okay? I'm just all empty here. With a Puerto Rican Jew, right? It means that I can't eat pasteles anymore on my holidays, and I can't eat, you know, matzo ball soup. Well, and I don't fast on Yom Kippur anymore. Does God say I'm not a Jew? No, it does not. I eat my meals. Because the rabbi says it's medically necessary. Everything I do, bariatric surgery, the shots, everything is necessary medically. But mentally, spiritually, no matter what, I have to do this. My daughter had the sleeve. She's lost 200 pounds, but she doesn't want OA. I met my husband in OA. He doesn't want to do it, but he's clean and sober over 30-something years. Doesn't matter. I can't no longer look at other people for the answer or the validation. That's the problem. When I start looking for other people to validate me, boom, I'm in trouble. Do I know I'm a compulsive overeater? I'm going to die a compulsive overeater. I know that. And that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Kevin Capasso over here from Montreal.
Hi Kevin.
I've been in OA for 22 months. I was on the bariatric list for over 4 years. Then, again, Canadian healthcare, yay. COVID happened, but bariatric surgery is not it's not cancer, it's not this, it's not that, so I got pushed back. So, I finally had surgery in June of this year. So it's a little over 4 months now. I'm adjusting. My biggest challenge is portion sizes right now. Just trying to figure out what. So my doctor also had a surgery done, and so I kind of followed his path. You know, it's like he did all the research, he did all the stuff. So I just said, okay, fine, let's just follow that. So at one point, when I was talking to my doctor, I told him, I said, you know, I'm a smart guy. I'm not, you know, I know that if I continue to do the same actions, I'm not going to get a different result. So I need a support structure. I need something in my life that's going to help me change my weights. So he suggested OA to me. So OA was familiar to me. My father's an alcoholic. He was in another program for over 4 years. And I've been to all of his anniversary meetings, and so again, the 12-step program was familiar, so it didn't throw me for anything. What did throw me is it took 12 meetings before I saw the man. But again, I started in Zoom, so I face-to-face was nothing like that. So, but the male thing, you come to terms with, for me, we're all people that are trying, that are working towards a goal, and we have problems with food. Whether we're male or female, it makes no difference to me whatsoever. We're all in the same boat. So I went to a men's meeting yesterday, and I almost felt like I don't belong here. It was kind of weird. But anyway, so when I started in a way, I did meetings, I did a timer, easy service, and little things, and then after about 3 months, I decided, like, do I want to just be a wallflower and do my meetings and this and that, or do I want to work on myself? So I decided I wanted to get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor, started working the steps. Prior to the surgery, I lost 65 pounds, and I was encouraged. My abstinence. I work on the road. I could eat fast food 3 meals a day. So I have not been in a fast food restaurant in 22 months. I don't eat chips at night, I don't eat anything else at night. So I did a lot of changes prior to the surgery. And then I got the call from the surgeon, and it's like, oh shit. But then I started thinking, do I need it? But again, my top weight was 385. And right now I'm 270. So since the surgery, I lost another 55, 60 pounds. And I had plateaued at one point through OA. I was making better choices. Everything was going well. 3 meetings a week, a 1 hour call with my sponsor every week, working the steps. Everything was moving along. My relationship with my wife was so much better. So much better. Even with my kids, coworkers, you know, the program was working. That still is working. But then, you know, the operation came, and I had a gastric bypass. It did not sleep, so I had to sleep. I was eligible for both, but in my head, the sleep was less intrusive. So I chose to sleep. And I have no regrets about it. But again, I struggle with portion size. So I got my water with me all the time. I knocked out all soda. Biggest challenge, I'm a beer drinker. You know, I drink one beer, two beers. I never had a problem because my father being an alcoholic, I always told myself, I want better for my family. I don't want to get into that thing. So I just changed my obsession with food. It's simple. So so all to say, it's been an interesting journey. It's still, the gastric bypass is still new to me. I would do it again. I don't feel challenged by it. And in my meetings, I don't hide it from people. I'm very open about it. I'm also very open about when I talk to people on the street, I will protect everyone else's anonymity, but mine, I'm more than happy to share with people. I'm more than happy to say what I've done to get to where I am today. And I'm just very grateful for this program. And I guess with that, I'll stop. So thank you all for being here, because you're all part of my recovery.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if anybody's interested in a week here list that we could just pass paper and share phone numbers if we're
happy. Got it.
And I know we have our photo from last year, and I would like to have a photo of everyone standing and everyone's comfortable with that. Yeah. That changed my life last year.
That's fine. I think we've all shared.
No, one person. Yeah. You want to share?
I'm here to support my wonderful, wonderful friend, Dino. I have not had a gastric bypass. But I don't feel any judgment whatsoever of people who have. I'm a food addict. Most people under the table, and I choose not to today. I have been abstinent a long time, 37 years. But what I try to share is I am and always will be a food addict. I've lost my legs. I'm not growing them back. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And that's the major thing that I have to remember today, is that I'm an alcoholic with food. And I could relate to what everybody said, though, even though I have not had the bypass, because we're all the same in so many ways. Thank you for asking me.
Thanks, Pam. Well, we got 1 minute.
Perfect timing.
Yes, I know. Does anybody is anybody available to sponsor?
Can I have?
Go ahead.
Question, which I think the meeting is sort of ended, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate everybody sharing. Of course, I haven't had bariatric surgery, as I said, I sponsor someone, but I appreciate the insights and the feelings. It's amazing. I guess my from a support point of view, from a tool point of view, my question, and I'm very thankful that most people see it as a tool and that you would do it again. But in that conversation prior to, do doctors and support people out there talk about that emotional, spiritual, multiple leveled piece of more than just the physical.
It depends on where you get it from.
So yeah. Like,
where I went, I had to have one psychological meeting for 30 minutes before I was able to get the surgery. But in that 30-minute meeting, they were just like, so are you ready to get the surgery or not? And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I should get it. And they were like, okay. And that was it. I know people that had to go to like multiple support groups before. And I also know people that had to do absolutely nothing. So it truly depends on where you're from.
Yeah, the first place I went to was like that, just a 30-minute. This Mass General made you go to a program of 6 weeks worth of support groups, and I think it was 3 or 4 psychological sessions. So it depends on where you go. The one thing you can do is, if she isn't getting the support where she's at, there are just because you didn't have surgery at that center, you can join the support groups at another center.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, they had it during. I had it during.
But before, in other words, when we come into program, we understand, because I didn't know. I only thought I wanted to die. But it's a three-legged stool.
Right.
It's not just really... Mm-hmm. It's about the food, but it's not about, it's not what I'm eating, it's what's eating me. And there are so many other levels to it. Are all of those things equally considered for an individual prior to the surgery?
I had to have my GP suggest, just give me a referral, and my cardiologist and my pulmonologist. So I had to meet with them. My GP had actually documented back many years, probably 9 years, of how she had tried to counsel me, tried to get me more counseling, to prove just to get my first appointment with the surgery.
Can we just...
Within the surgeon, I had to have several.
Can we just end with the serenity prayer? Because we forgot that part. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.